Welcome to the High Rise Podcast, presented by Headset, the leading data and analytics company for the cannabis industry.
Woofta. Emily, did you see that Minnesota just legalized edibles?
I did. I was scrolling through Twitter this weekend, and then all of a sudden I was like, "Ooh, what's that? Minnesota has legal edibles now? What's happening?" Dove into it and was pretty impressed by this little move to try to kind of create a legal and regulated market around this.
Yeah, what was so surprising to me was how I heard about it as well, which was the Republicans and the state legislature admitted that they had no idea that this was coming, or that they had even voted for this, which I thought was hilarious.
It kind of reminds me of, the parents who don't realize the kids are high at Thanksgiving dinner. Of course, the kids who are 21 plus, but you know, I feel like some snuck a little goodie by on this one. So
absolutely. And so this is such a fascinating thing. I really wanted to dig into it. I want to talk about what this is, how we got here, and really what the response has been in Minnesota and beyond. So maybe I'll start with a little bit of how we got here before we talk about what this is, because they're still kind of talking about what this is. But essentially, there is this loophole that makes hemp-derived Delta-9 THC legitimate in a lot of states. Leafly recently wrote an article, I believe back in May, kind of highlighting this. We'll link to it in the show notes. And you can see the different states and kind of the loophole about the percentage of THC, so 0.3%. THC per dry weight, and a lot of similarities to the Texas market that we've talked about, on the podcast. But now there's this loophole. So a lot of states that have no, legal adult use framework have access to these products that have Delta 9 in it, or Delta 8, or other compounds. And there's all sorts of confusion and chaos in a lot of markets where people think it's legal, think it's not legal, don't really know. And I think even the states are struggling with this. And only recently, Minnesota got added to this list of loophole states. It was on an exclusive, an exclusionary, not permitted. But in the beginning of June, the governor signed a bill to clarify this, that it was okay. And now we have the legislature coming in doing this. The big reason that they talked about in a press conference that went on today, that we'll also link to, was because of challenges around basically this gray market. There are all sorts of products that are marketed similarly to other CPG products, brands that look like Doritos. They mentioned Sour Patch Kids and so on that are coming to market, which we believe is a terrible thing, right? And it's confusing for a variety of reasons, and targeting a younger audience and so on. And so this loophole that was created, really was causing them a lot of challenges. And so they went in and closed the loophole by just legalizing edibles. Without legalizing a full adult use framework, they just tried to close this loophole, saying basically what it is being you have to be 21 plus to purchase it, that it has to be hemp derived, that it can have 50 milligrams max per package, that it goes beyond just dry weight, because they also mentioned beverages as well, childproof packaging. It can't look like a candy. They said animals or fruit. And thought animals was kind of a funny one. So here we are, right? And it's just wild to see, this come across. I think this is the first time we've seen anything like this in all the states that we've tracked. And as long as I've been involved in the cannabis category, just one small category in a market without a full structure for, what licensing looks like and on all the rules associated.
Right. And so I'm pretty glad to see that they took this step, because as you know, I've been getting more and more concerned about kind of this fly-by-night Delta 9 THC, Delta 8 THC hemp derived product market. And it's not because I don't think these are useful cannabinoids, for lack of a better word, even though Delta 8 is synthetically derived. But, I do think there's great qualities to these things. And it's great if we can use hemp, which is an American crop through and through. And so that's all fine. But just like you were saying, I just want it to be regulated so we can get ahead of some of the things we've seen in the past. And so I'm glad to see that they're doing this. And so I'm particularly interested to learn about where it's allowed to be sold, and what are the testing and labeling requirements around this? Because I do think it's still a consumable. And if people are consuming it similarly to how they're consuming cannabis in the legal and regulated markets that we have, then it should be kind of held to a certain standard. So, you know, I think it was a good move by Minnesota, but I think that it's going to be interesting to see how they roll it out. I did listen to the discussion that was going on with that press conference, and I did note that they were very much leading with the word hemp, 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 hemp. Like, they're trying to be very clear that they're talking about this. And I think, from what I understand, because Colin on our team is actually, he went to school at St. Olaf's, he was a football player, and he told me it's quite a conservative constituent base there. And so I'm guessing that there's very specific language choices going on and specific discussion about the ages and to your point about the form factors and the packaging and targeting the youth. And so just making sure this is all running copacetic. I do think one factoid that I learned as it pertains to hemp is that we all know that industrial hemp has started to explode in the United States. And I'm pretty excited about some of the non-consumption end uses of industrial hemp, especially on this front. And let's face it, if you're trying to get that much THC derived from hemp into a product, you're going to need kind of a lot of hemp. But in Minnesota is the fifth largest, let's see, Minnesota farmers planted 2,650 acres in 2021 of hemp, and it's the fifth most among the United States. So that's pretty interesting in terms of having it right in their backyard.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a really very much a homegrown industry for them. And that's really what they were talking about in the press conference. And I think there were maybe a dozen people that took to the microphone about, you know, how excited they were and all the reasons why they were doing it, which really kind of flies in the face of this thought of it happened accidentally. That's kind of been a lot of the headlines out there. Did they accidentally do this? Did they mean to do this? And sounds like they certainly did. There's still, you know, plenty of things that they have to figure out. You know, how you actually purchase it, all those aspects that every market has to deal with, which I'm sure is, you know, going to be no small feat. You know, I'm just really thinking that this is a pretty interesting way to do it, you know, and it's something that when you look at that list of states that have this loophole that are suffering through the same thing, and, you know, think about industry and think about the industrial hemp opportunity there and the markets that could get created and the regulation that can prevent, you know, child access and all the good things that come from this. It's a pretty clever like stopgap. And, you know, maybe how they did it too is pretty cool. Like, they didn't talk a lot about it, or if at all about it, right? It was in there. The media that was interviewing them after the fact, you know, was making a pretty noisy case about that, saying, hey, why didn't you talk about this? If you're doing this press conference and saying how important this was for the state to do this, why didn't we hear about this in all the discussions, you know, in the state legislature? And they said something along the lines of, some things are just better done quietly. And I don't disagree, right? I don't think there's a rule against it. You know, someone could have raised their hands and said, oh, this is in here, let's talk about this, but they didn't. And maybe more states can benefit from something like this. And maybe this is a great way to get a market off the ground. You know, just because they're starting with edibles doesn't mean they can't expand that, right? I'm sure they're going to have other challenges. I think, you know, things like gummies and that are probably more readily accessible online and getting it shipped in. But certainly they have, you know, cross-state challenges like every market. And so maybe they'll start to say, well, we need to expand this opportunity, or let's build a whole regulatory framework because we've already legalized it for adult use. So like, let's actually get stores in there and so on. So totally unique way of doing it and, you know, pretty exciting.
Yeah, one of the speakers mentioned that, you know, the lack of legal market and regulation is just creating this thriving illicit and gray market. And I kind of was thinking it would be beneficial for some of the East Coast regulators to hear that logic. And I mean, if I had a dime for every time I said, spare me the lip service to a politician about cannabis, I would have a lot more money to invest in cannabis. But it's a, you know, action versus talk is definitely something I welcome. And I think that if you know your lanes and know how to get through it, it's a really effective thing. So things that I'm going to be watching for are, as we've talked about, you know, packaging, testing, labeling, where it can be retailed, how it can be positioned and talked about, because that's part of the thing that I'm kind of concerned about that I've mentioned. My friends who are in New York, for example, who've seen these illicit doors that are quasi gray market open. And then they're like, oh, there's THC. And I'm like, well, okay, we got to talk about what that really means and the source of it. But I'm curious to see how they handle that. And then from what I've seen, I think it's just GTI and Verano that have licenses in Minnesota at this point. And so I'm curious to understand more how the legal cannabis operators view this and what their role in retailing or even the full supply chain around this will be, because these are operators that have been set up to navigate the strictest end-to-end guidelines about getting a product to the consumer. And so I'm curious about how that aspect of this market will be approached, because, you know, obviously those operators like having a medical market, but everyone's focused on the bigger prize, which is when these things turn into adult use markets. And so I'm curious to see how this will be a line that is walked.
Yeah, that's a really good question. One thing we have to assume is that the illicit market, you know, these products that they're talking about that are being sold that are so challenging for them today are, you know, readily available. To what extent, I'm not sure. But these are things that, you know, organizations in Minnesota like GTI are dealing with, whether they maybe acknowledge it or not. With this new regulation, does it, you know, make it even easier to access this stuff? Like, we don't know necessarily where you're going to be able to purchase this. In the press conference, someone was talking about a recent legislation that came through about bars and restaurants couldn't add any sort of hemp-derived THC to products, either at locations or to go, right? Which is an interesting statement that they had to make. And if I forget which legislator it was, he kind of answered that and he said, look, this is different. You know, this is like production of products. That's like infusing at a location. You know, that'd be like, I don't know, taking a non-alcoholic drink and adding alcohol to it at the restaurant and then, you know, serving it, which is just something that I guess is, you know, possible in cannabis, but nothing we've really seen ever. And so interesting to kind of hear that people were thinking, well, does it mean restaurants can do this because, you know, it's a beverage? But certainly that's not going to be the case. But where it will, these packaged goods, where are they going to be at? Is it going to be, you know, at liquor stores? Like, I'm not even sure. I don't think they've really mentioned. And if they're going to create, you know, dedicated retail space, it seems like, I mean, there's crazier things, right, with things like happening in Texas, but that idea seems a little limiting, but maybe that is the case. But I'm not sure if that would solve it. Like, maybe the stores would want to, maybe these license holders, you know, in the medical markets like GTI would say, okay, well, we do want to open stores that only sell edibles to capture that opportunity. But, you know, depending on the scale, is that going to solve the gray market challenges? If you can just order online, right, these other products and so on. So we'll see, you know, what that turns into, but certainly they're dealing with it today. And, you know, hopefully they can have a voice in, you know, how this rolls out, right? And what this looks like, because they have made some significant investments in a tightly controlled, heavily regulated and structured category. And now, you know, with the hemp derived, you know, I'm not sure the regulations around, you know, growing hemp, but it's got to be a lot easier than, you know, what they're dealing with growing, you know, medical grade, you know, THC cannabis.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think especially since the farm bill, which was another thing, you know, that they mentioned that this gray area was partially because the farm bill came about and then the FDA didn't really weigh in on clarity about a lot of things. And it seems to have taken a backseat to, I don't know, a pandemic and like a few other things that have gone on. So not a focus of the FDA at this particular moment, but we'll see. We'll see what happens next. I think this does bode to be interesting in this time. And there's so, I just can't wait to try to understand it more. And so, you know, kudos to Minnesota for, you know, going for it.
How long until we see the first infused Minnesota hot dish?
I am unfamiliar with a hot dish. What is that?
Oh, it's like a casserole, basically.
Well, if it's a vegan dish, how about you? I would enjoy a THC edible and then have the hot dish. How's that?
There you go. There you go. That's probably what's really going to happen here.
Thanks for listening to the High Rise Podcast, presented by Headset. For more information on Headset, visit headset.io.